It was Good Friday, April 8th, just outside of Zeeland, North Dakota, not far from where I grew up. The year 1898. And in entries from the diary of a pioneer mother, we read these words. Oh God, how can we mortals grieve when human eyes run dry of tears? I ache so bad, but I can no longer cry. The mother's name is Louisa Feist, and her story of that Lenten season hauntingly parallels what we as a nation have been through during our own season of Lent. The cemetery image which you see next to this homily link tells the whole story. Her diary entry from February 28th ominously sets the stage. Something strange is in our home, she says. One can feel it, but not see it. I cleaned under every bed. And on March 6th, just a few days later, the horror began. The diary reads, Poor Margarita has been very ill. The other children all have fevers. Their fits of coughing scare me so. And just 2 days later, on March 8th, she writes, We buried little Margarita in St. Leo's Cemetery. Our precious angel, she was only 4. And the next day we read, The house reeks of sickness. I carried in buckets of snow to put washcloths on the children. And only 2 days later, the horror deepens. Oh God, she writes, We returned to St. Leo's where we buried 3 more. Katerina, Lawrence, and Simon. Her entry on the next Sunday sounds painfully familiar to what we are saying. The neighbors say it's diphtheria. They're afraid to come near us. Even the doctor has stayed away. And for good reason, because on the next day, March 14th, we read, We buried 11-year-old Andy, the son of my husband's brother. We cherished Andy like our own. And 2 days later, today it was windy and so cold, and we had to lay to rest our dear Teresa. And 5 days later, she writes the words that so many of us have said. This has been a difficult Lent. And she goes on, We buried 6 children in 8 days. My husband, now a coffin maker, is strong, but today the whole house shook with the sound of his weeping. And finally, 10 days later, this morning we returned to St. Leo's, and we buried Jacob beside the others. Friends in Christ, who could have imagined just 3 months ago that I would, on Good Friday, have an app on my smartphone which gives me up-to-the-minute updates on COVID-19? As I record this message, my phone tells me that 1,480,362 of God's children in this world have been infected, and 87,021 of us have perished. And by the time you hear my words, those numbers will have climbed greatly. When we consider the pain and horror that Michael and Louisa Feist endured during Lent 1898, laying 7 children in the earth, I am called to consider the grief that God has endured in Lent of 2020. 87,000 of us have perished. I am also called to consider the grief and horror that God experienced on that very first Good Friday, when Christ, God's own Son, was laid in the tomb. Oh God, cries Louisa Feist, how can we mortals grieve when human eyes run dry of tears? My God, cries Jesus from the cross, Why have you forsaken me? How long, O Lord, we ask as we watch the news. How long can this possibly go on? Friends in Christ, I don't know about you, but never have I experienced a Good Friday which felt more like Good Friday. And never have I experienced a Good Friday which I feel will probably never end. Some of you may remember after 9/11, some workers found in the wreckage some welded I-beams that had fallen from some great height in the shape of a cross. That cross still stands there today as a monument. It stands there symbolizing what exactly? Hope? Grief? Both? Perhaps it symbolizes the presence of God even in the midst of horror. But whatever that cross means, what it does not mean is that those nearly 3,000 deaths that day were not so bad after all. Those deaths were tragic. The death of the Feist children was tragic. 87,000 COVID-19 deaths are tragic. Jesus's death was tragic. But here's what's most important. It's impossible to observe Good Friday without still standing in the light of Easter. But if that resurrection light gives us a glimmer of hope, it also highlights the cross like a spotlight. The cross never goes away. It can't, because it's a reminder of how bad off we humans really are. But it reminds us also that we've never slipped so far away that God can't still reach us. And with nail-pierced hands, God does reach us. God doesn't explain away the terror, the insidious sickness, or the death of this world. God reminds us that in Christ, he has penetrated the darkness, and in doing so, he has rescued us from it. Friends in Christ, if we can see that in the cross of Christ, this Friday is a Good Friday after all. Amen.